So this is our Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And Everyone Communicates, Few Connect is an actual book that is written by John Maxwell, if there's any John Maxwell fans in the crowd. And what we're doing here today is not only are we doing a mastermind, but we're learning how to do a mastermind. And so we have a different facilitator every time we start down that path of masterminds. And so today we have Angela McBride as our facilitator. And this is our third call of our five call session. So we meet once a month. And so for five sessions, Angela is our facilitator. I facilitated, Mason facilitated, now Angela. And so we're looking for someone starting in June. We have any volunteers out there that want to try to facilitate the call? And it's pretty easy. The first thing that I want to do is I want to share with you that if you go to kathybinner.com, you can see my name there in the square. I'm a passive income coach. And so I want you to learn how to do masterminds so that you can monetize those. And it's actually a great way to have income. And if you go to kathybinner.com and scroll down to the Everyone Communicates, Few Connect icons, you'll see that there's a course there. And that course takes you all the way through a moderator facilitator guide. So, any of you that volunteer to be the moderator facilitator for this call, you get the course for free. So, let me know anybody that wants it, I'll give it to you for free. I just have to get you a coupon code so that you can click through and get the
Well,
course.
Kathy, I'd
Yes.
love to volunteer to be the next one after Angela has her run.
Okay. I
Thank
love
you.
it. I love it. So, let me just make a note there. Perfect. I will get in. I think I have your email, but I'll check. Because what I want to do is I want to make sure that you get the actual guide so that you see what we're doing. But the guide starts off with how to welcome your mastermind members, and then how to do introductions of your mastermind members, and then it's an overview of the book of Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, and then it's the purpose of the five sessions. And I will tell you this, if you meet up for one or two sessions, sometimes it's easy to go, well, that was a nice group. But you're not really vested in the group yet. You're just thinking, oh, those were nice folks, and I enjoyed the conversation. But once you get through five sessions, you start to miss the folks that because you're starting to get to know them and you're starting to connect with them. And so five sessions is the magic number if you are going to have a mastermind where you're going to monetize it. So at least five sessions. So then we talk about the review of where to find the cliff notes, because sometimes folks are like, oh, I have to read that book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, and it's, I don't have time to read it or whatever. And I really want to just enjoy the conversation and I don't want it to turn into a book club. And you can read the cliff notes if you want. But then we go through in five sessions. The book has 10 chapters, but we've chosen five. So we do chapter one also on the first session, and then we do chapter two, and then we jump over kind of to the middle of the book, and then we do chapter six, and then chapter seven, and then finally chapter nine ties it all together. And again, once you see the cliff notes, you'll see why those were the chapters that were chosen. And so with that, I am actually going to turn it over to Angela here. But I want to just make sure when we were talking, and I'm just looking at my notes here, on session one, we talked about the framework of how, and I'm doing the backstory, Angela, not the actual mastermind. So on session one, we talked about the framework on how you can do a mastermind, and this is a perfect way to do it, is on Zoom. But there's all kinds of online programs now where you can do FaceTime like this. And Hoppin is a great one if you haven't chosen, if you haven't checked out Hoppin, but it is a little pricey. I will mention, or at least I think so. And Zoom has, basically a free version. And then it depends on how many folks you want to put on the call or how long you want to go as to whether you want to upgrade your Zoom. But anyhow, the first thing you have to do is decide what framework you're going to go on. And the biggest thing is what type of a hardware and software are you going to use to connect with your mastermind. Now, it could be an in-person as things are opening up. You could do an in-person mastermind and monetize that. The second session, we talked about how do you invite folks. I like to use all of the free stuff. I don't know about you, but I kind of like the free stuff. And because I wasn't sure which one was going to give me the most mileage. So I did Eventbrite. I did Meetup. I did Facebook events. And so I put it across all of those on how to invite folks. And then in the third session, we talk about how to price. And that's where we are today. We're in session number three. And so I do want to mention on pricing, the way I got started and the way I like to do it. And again, this isn't carved in stone. This is just some suggestions as you're getting started, is I like to kind of find my voice. And so I would put together a mastermind, and then I would facilitate the mastermind for five sessions, whether that's 5 weeks, 5 months, however, the number five there is the magic number. Mm-hmm. And I would do it for free to start off. And once that group kind of gelled and became a core group, those would be my founding members. You see where I'm going with that? Then I would take those founding members and I would give them the whole program at no charge. And then those founding members, I would then start promoting the mastermind with, because it's hard to have a mastermind and a conversation when you don't have any back and forth conversation. That's the whole point. And so at that time, then I would start charging. And what I found works best for me is a membership site. Now, when you talk about a membership site and you want to start monetizing a mastermind, you have to decide who is your audience. Who is the audience you're trying to reach? You have to, first of all, look at what your mastermind content is about. You don't have to mastermind this book, Everyone Communicates Few Connect. This is just us getting our feet wet on facilitating a mastermind. You don't have to use this book in your own mastermind. Use your own material in your own mastermind. I have a Happy House Hunters group and we mastermind the 6 F's of real estate investing. I have a bloggers mastermind and we mastermind the 6 steps of creating and monetizing a blog. I have a Build a Better Business mastermind and we mastermind the 12 steps to go from a startup to a full-time gig. And so you don't have to actually mastermind this book. This is just an example and to get us started. And so once you decide what you're going to mastermind, now you have to decide what group are you trying to reach? Well, my sweet spot are all the newbies. I love the newbies because I remember when I was one of the newbies, whether I'm blogging, whether I'm starting in real estate, whether I'm, building my business, whatever it was, I just remember not having any steps, not having any direction. And so I have created these steps that I can now bring to a mastermind. And since I'm after the newbies, those folks don't have any cash yet. They're newbies. They're just launching their businesses. They might still be working a corporate job. They're trying to maybe do this, as a side gig or a sideline. And so they oftentimes don't have a lot of cash to put into it. So I had to be careful in my pricing to be sure and price my masterminds where the newbies would be attracted to the price. And so my mastermind memberships are only $25 a month. It's a membership fee and you can do a couple of masterminds for that. I do a BOGO deal now where you can have two masterminds for that same $25. And all of that's under KathyBenner.com. So that's just an idea on pricing. So you have to decide who your audience is going to be, who you're directing your mastermind to, who it is that you want to attract to join your mastermind. And that's what's going to determine how you set your price. Does that make sense to everybody on pricing? Mm-hmm. And again, and I'll give you another little tip here. You won't charge any more than what you're willing to pay. You won't charge any more than what you're willing to pay. because oftentimes you're thinking, I wouldn't pay $1,000 for that. So you're going to have a hard time charging $1,000 for that. You're always going to be apologizing, or you're always going to not quite feel like your content is good enough for $1,000 price tag. So my best advice, and I see Mason's, he's got thoughts running around his head. I see that. So my point to that is, if you want to charge more, you have to spend more. If you want to charge more, you have to spend more. Okay. When I was in the cosmetology industry, I would have girls that come right out of cosmetology school, and they wouldn't feel confident in their skill set yet. And so they're thinking, I can't charge this lady, you know, and we all know what it costs to get our hair done and get our nails done. And they would say, I can't charge that. And I'm like, well, go down the street and get your hair done or get your nails done and then come back. And they would come back and go, well, I'm as good as she is. And I'd say, okay, now, and you paid, didn't you? Well, yeah. And I even gave her a big tip. I said, all right, so now let's get your prices on your menu and let's start charging, because you've already spent all of your money learning this and getting into this industry. So now let's start monetizing it. And that's kind of where a lot of us get stuck. We've spent all of our time getting into what it is that we're doing and creating our products and creating our services. And now we're just kind of afraid to monetize it. So just know, if you want to raise your prices, raise what you're spending on yourself to take a couple of courses, and you'll find your prices will go up. So anyway, so that's what I have to say today. And Mason, what is your comment? I saw that you had some thoughts running around.
Real quick, tied to that, and I agree with everything Kathy said, but remember, for each of you, well, I'll just speak for me, because I'm the only one who would suffer from imposter syndrome. I'm the only one who would think that what I have to say, there's no value to it. I'm the only one who would think that no one would ever want to hear what I say or hear my message or commiserate and realize we're not alone. Maybe I'm the only one, but there is a value to what I say and do and bring to the table. And I have to teach that to myself, because until I learn that what I say has value, I'm not going to charge anything, because I'm not worth it. So remember, when I go through this hurdle, I'm only picking on myself because no one else goes through this. I have to get past that hurdle that there is value, that I present value and I bring value. And that's my purpose of doing this. So as I go through these things, I learn this. If possibly someone else suffers from this, I'm just letting you know that that's something we have to go through and get past, is, hey, what you say, there actually is a value to it. It's not a scam. It's not a con. There's value to what you said, just like Kathy said. Yes, my wife and daughter get their hair and nails done. There's cost to that. There's value to that. So same appropriate analogy. Everything you say, there's value to that. So if you're feeling those insecurities, that's normal. That's expected. Mm-hmm. You have to work through that. However your process is, talk to somebody else, talk to yourself, you know, but talk to somebody else to share those insecurities and say, hey, what do you think? So they can remind you if you need to be reminded. I do personally. So
well, I had a great coach one time way early on. I was in my early 20s and I was in the insurance industry way back then. I worked for an insurance company, and I got licensed to sell property and casualty, you know, car insurance and homeowner insurance. And finally they said, well, we're going to add life insurance to your portfolio of things you can sell. Well, I'm 20 years old. I'm like, life insurance. Okay. Whatever that is. So we went through the seminar, and this made such an impact on me. So we're in the training session, and the guy that was doing the training, he went through all about life insurance, and we got all of the education piece. And then he said, now we're going to learn how to do an application before I turn you loose. So he says, get out your application tablet. So we did. He said, now write your own name on there. He said, because you know your information. He said, so put your own information on there. So, okay, I fill out my name and a birth date. And, you know, he said, just fill it out. He said, so you get familiar with the application. So everybody in the room is doing that. And when we got to the bottom, he said, now sign it. And so we did. And he said, now get out your checkbook. And we were like, what? And so we're getting out our checkbooks. He says, now write a check to the company. And we're like, okay. He said, now sign your check. And we did that. He said, now tear it out. And he said, and paperclip that. He said, I'm teaching you how you submit these. He said, now paperclip that to the top of the application. So we all did that. We all, you know, he had provided us paperclips. He says, now pass all of those forward. Like we're in school. Well, we did. We all passed. And he said, there, he said, now each of you in the room has purchased $100,000 worth of life insurance. He said, so now when your client says, do you have life insurance? You can say, I absolutely do. I have $100,000 worth. Oh. And you know what? I hardly sold over $100,000 worth because I only bought $100,000 worth. It wasn't until I was much older that I realized and started buying real estate investments that I realized, you know, I probably ought to have more life insurance than $100,000. But at 21 years old, I had $100,000 worth of life insurance. How many 21-year-olds have $100,000 worth of life insurance? I did. And that made a huge, huge, huge impact on me. So again, I tell you, whatever it is that you're wanting to sell, you have to be willing to buy. And so go out, spend some money on yourself. And when you do, it is so empowering because you're investing in yourself and now you're willing to charge for your products and services. So that's my spiel about pricing. Are there any questions from anyone? And Mason, thank you so much for your input on that, because I think we've all had that imposter syndrome at one point, like, well, what makes my program better than somebody else's program? Or why would somebody choose me over someone else? And again, it's because of you that they're choosing your products and services. They're choosing you. Any questions or comments from anyone? All right. How many in the room have felt like they've had the imposter syndrome? Yes, Sally says that. Yep. Angela, Debbie. Yep. Mason says, nah, I get it. So anyway, if you have any questions about pricing, get in touch with me, put it in the chat. I'll monitor the chat while Angie is talking, and we are going to turn it over to Angela. So Angela, tell us a little bit about yourself and then go ahead with the actual mastermind today.
Okay. Good morning. Yes, my name is Angela McBride. I spent 29 and a half years in the Air Force. And I actually joined this group because I wanted to learn how to be a facilitator, because I wanted to start an organization, and I felt like I had absolutely no skills whatsoever. And so this was an opportunity for me to do a mastermind, and also to learn how to communicate with other people and how to allow other people to get involved and to network. And so that is why I joined this mastermind. With that being said, I really like your opening, Kathy, because it's like a segue for me, because one of my strong beliefs is whatever you seek is seeking you, or all that I seek is seeking me. And I have learned that it's like you send that out into the atmosphere and you're like a magnet. So and like I said, so that was perfect on what you said for me. But anyway, so I like chapter 6 because it talks about finding common ground. And at first, just what Mason said was like, I did not think that what I had to say was important. Definitely what I had to want to say and do, no one would ever think about paying for it. I mean, there is just no way. And I've come to find out that once I opened my mouth and expressed my ideas and shared, I was totally, absolutely amazed that people would ask me to help them to lose weight. And I'm not a trainer. I'm not in those things, but I just like to walk. It was so simple. But and it started like that, just doing simple things. And I'm still not licensed or anything like that, but I just a matter of just knowing that I do have I have that value and self-worth, and I do have to do self-talk. So certain things keep me up at night. And what I'd like to know is what keeps you guys up at night? What idea that you still have buried within yourself that is just itching to come out? So Sally, what ideas that you have that, you know, that are buried under just scratching the walls of your organs trying to get out?
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes hard to articulate things, but I would like to start a podcast or a meetup group. Mm-hmm. I joke about this, that I've been writing a book in my head for years, and that's really, really trying to get out. But things like that, I'm not sure that, well, I do want to grow my business back to where it was, mm-hmm. but my priorities have shifted a little. And I've always had, for a long time, to be caregivers, have a support group for caregivers, so where they can talk freely about things that happen while they're caregiving. And it's really hard, you know, to do that in person, because caregivers can't get away. It's hard enough to schedule time to go to the grocery store. Even if you want to get your hair cut, it's hard enough to get away from that without spending an hour at an in-person meeting. They just don't have the resources to have somebody come in and watch their loved ones while they go to a support group meeting. So something online or something as a podcast, something. Yeah. And I learned just recently, Kathy, that Ed would like to start something similar.
The universe, you know, does make everything work together, doesn't it?
Yeah. He's focused on what you should do as a caregiver, mm-hmm. what help you should ask for and accept. That's the hardest thing. It's accepting.
Yeah.
And mine is more toward letting people vent about it and get angry. It's okay to get angry.
You know? And both are equally important. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's been in my mind and on my heart for several years, even before John got very sick.
Wow. That's interesting, Sally, because two things you said that we have in common. One is wanting to start a podcast. And number two is been wanting to write a book for a number of years. And now I've been writing things down, but it's been like, it was first in my gut and now it's come up toward my, toward my diaphragm. And it's kind of like,
it has to start somewhere.
So I have literally started writing things down now. So that's just like that. We have two things in common for sure. But I can see in your background, though, your travel business. And so thank you. It's amazing how just by opening your mouth and sharing, you come to realize all the things that you have in common. We're not so different after all. So Mason, could you, what do you dream about? What keeps you up at night and so on?
Wow. I don't know if I want to open that can. Finally got answers succinctly. I guess trying to improve on some things that I have struggled with. I have written a book. And I have not pushed forward with it because the book is something I've gone through or a journey I was on, and I'm at a turning point. So right now, my focus for the next 13 weeks, what keeps me up is, can I stay focused for the next 13 weeks on my health? Can I break my old habits of you know, what I've been doing, which doesn't work for me, and intentionally try and make new habits? And I've given myself a 13-week, I got a little planner and everything to stay focused on that. And that actually does keep me up. For example, today was a very busy day. This morning, I've already been on a 6:30 call. I've taken my daughter to school. I was back on another call before this, and I went to the gym. And I'm trying to figure out last night, how am I going to do all these things? Because I didn't want to miss the gym piece, which is a big part of me changing habits. So what keeps me up is night. Okay, I've got a goal. It's a short obtainable, but it's a tough goal for me. How do I make sure I stay true to that? So that's actually what's right now focusing for me on that. So I think that answers you. I hope that answers your question. It's how to stay intentional and on track, because it's so easy for me. I really don't want to do that. I don't want to go to the gym. I need to do something. And it's not as much the gym piece. It's the act of being intentional about it. Like this morning, I did a half a workout because one, my legs are bothering me, but hey, so it worked, but I still got myself there trying to be focused on that. So.
Wow. You know what, Mason, this also awesome and amazing, because just I've been wanting to change my habits, and I've been reading how that to change a habit, it takes like 21 days. However, it takes more than one cycle. So research has shown that it takes like 2 or 3 cycles, which is like 63 days to actually change a habit, to become intentional, and then it's ingrained. So once again, common ground just gets a ding, ding, ding for me and you.
Your typical productivity planner is like 13 weeks. That's just a nice little quarter thing. It's how they're structured. I don't know the math behind that. It is literally, I started this 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. From today, there's 12 more weeks till my birthday. Wow. My birthday is on June 17th. It's a Friday. It is 12 weeks from today. So starting last week, that's 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to change the old habits, and I'm using this as a goal to change those habits, to be intentional on that. Mm-hmm. Am I doing something physical every day? So it's trying to instill a new habit to replace the old ones. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of excuses this morning. I came so close, so close not to going. It's like, no. Because I went even for a half a session, I feel better half a session. Mm-hmm. So
That's great. That's really good. Thank you. What about you, Linda? What keeps you up at night? What's just ideas you might have, or something that you want to create that is buried and you want to get it out there?
I just have this huge desire to help people live lives free of overwhelm. I've been buried in it in many years in business and all the whatever the roller coaster ride of life, and I like Sally, I've been through the healthcare piece as well, and the loss of a loved one. And in the world of small business, it's overwhelming a great amount of the time. And so my goal is to take the things that I've learned and help people to have just some really just practical ways of simplifying their lives and getting a handle on things and living with peace and sanity. I'm a content creator. I have a course that I've taught called How to Live Sanely in an Insane World. I'm getting ready to release My new course has been delayed with some in case life happens kinds of things going on in my world. Mm-hmm. Just spent the last 12 days at my parents' house, helping them with my dad's health condition. And so you just roll with what happens in real life. And with, and my new course that I'm getting ready to launch is the Legacy of Love Project. And I help people look at end of life and get away from the idea that it's big and scary and insurmountable and impossible. And these are conversations that I can't have. And I don't know where to start on putting my affairs in order. So therefore I am frozen in fear. And it's that consistent thing that is in common with all the things that I do. The coaching that I do is just helping people see there is a way to make things more calm, more serene, more sane, more grounded, and build in quality of life. And it's so rewarding that it just keeps me pushing forward all the time.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. I'm speechless. That is really beautiful. And did you mention grief skills?
Grief skills, it's not a specific part of the Legacy of Love, but because we're, instead of having the monster in the closet or under the bed and just being afraid of it, right. Death doesn't have to be big and scary. And actually, if you proactively begin conversations early, the fear just melts away. And then in what we do, the focus is on the love. In love, we gather all the information to help our family afterward. And I've done some recent research, and doing these kinds of things now actually in a very big way contributes to the resilience that your family and loved ones will experience when you do pass away. So like the good stuff just keeps emerging. And so I am not a grief counselor, and I mean, I've walked that journey, but that's not going to be a key part of mm-hmm. what we do. However, because it's group centered, we have, you know, a private group. People are able to speak very candidly about what's going on in their world. And we all have something that is going on. We've all lost someone, and we've all encountered difficulties at the time of passing with handling matters. So everyone will learn from everyone else, and there'll be no judging and a great deal of support.
Wow. Wow. I'm speechless. Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you. So, is it T-Cons? Is that how you pronounce it? T-Cons? What dreams do you have and desires that are keeping you up at night? What do you dream about? What do you want to do? What are your desires? Because I see that his mic, his mute is being muted, and then it's coming back. So let's go to Joyce. Hi, Joyce. She's on mute.
Being a Friday morning, there may be folks that are multitasking. They might be tuning in from work. So sometimes they might be at a place where they can't share. Mm-hmm. So we get that, but if you can, feel free to jump in.
So how would I move over to Debbie then? Hi, Debbie.
Hello. Good morning. Good Sorry, morning. I apologize for being late. Mm-hmm. So your question is, what keeps me up at night?
Right.
Well, I guess I guess where I'm going to start is the fact that Mason was talking about 13 weeks and you mentioned about 21 days. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been doing this Revive 21 day devotional. Mm-hmm. And it's basically for broken people seeking a faithful God. And it's done through my church. Mm-hmm. And because I want to build my faith, I want to, because I know it's deep inside of me and I know God is calling me. Mm-hmm. And so this book, this devotional is awakening me to some things that I didn't understand. And then our pastor on Sunday, his sermon was very provoking to me. It was like he was talking straight to me. Mm-hmm. And when you have those Sunday mornings, that it kind of leaves a feeling like some questions were answered for me. It's springtime and planting is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. We've already started our plants in the house. And so, you know, it's making sure we stay keeping them going. Mm-hmm. And they have different cycles. And because when it comes to May, we always have very sturdy, ready plants to go in the ground. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, Sally's talking about podcasts and Linda's talking about, legacy. And we have a tendency to forget that we usually talk about people that have died, past family members that have passed away. Well, you know, I always put in that mix family members that have to deal with loved ones that have had a stroke. Mm. And this stroke has turned their life upside down. And I spoke to my sister over the other night, who I haven't spoken to in like a month and a half, because her husband had a stroke, very unpredictable. And so he's home now with her. And I know she can't handle it. She just can't handle the challenge. And I knew that from when my mom was in a position. And then my mom went into dementia. And when I'm listening to her, I'm hearing dementia is creeping in. And I don't dare say that to her because that's not a word she wants to hear. But she gets so frustrated with him. And it was like, man, you really need to be able to talk to someone that can give you guidance not to get mad at the person when they get mad at what they're doing, because it's not working out. And it was something they could do before, but now it's a challenge. And you have to be able to move into their life. You can't go and remember what they were like over here and say, you know, why aren't you there? But they're over here, and they get frustrated. They get frustrated with even large print puzzles or word searches. Mm-hmm. and games and things. And I can't tell her. So to me, someone like that, like my sister and what she's going through, also needs to have a support group, because I'm afraid Tim's going into dementia because of the severity of his stroke. And he's gone from a person that was doing everything. And that, I mean, the bills and everything. And now she had to take over. And he's was on short-term disability from his work, and he worked for Tyson. And now they've got to put him on long-term disability. So there's so much. And you know, she seems to think that she can handle the whole thing. And but so I kind of picked up that she's relied on her church. And I suggested you need to go talk to somebody at church to see who is within the church that you trust that they can help you. They had to sell their one car. So, you know, there's only the one that she uses, but the big one so that Tim could get in and out because he has to use a walker. Well, so anyways, you know, that's kind of bothering me at night. Right. Yeah, and I know that I can't talk to her about it to some degree, because I know how she was with my mother when I tried to talk to her. Mm-hmm. So it's got to come from somebody else, if you kind of get my drift. Mm-hmm. So it kind of bothers me that, you know, she has to go through this. Because she's in Oklahoma, she's not anywhere near me. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's kind of a mixture of why I don't sleep at night.
Well, you know what, in listening to Linda, maybe you guys, you could like seek out something that she has to offer, that she, some of her expertise about that. Did you hear what Linda was saying when she was
yes, and it resonated with me. Mm-hmm. A lot. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Thank you.
So I say one more thing?
Oh, definitely. Please.
If Linda could put her information in the chat window, then I could get in touch with her and kind of talk about things.
Yes, that'd be great. Thank you for saying that. That's so true. Because I wanted to do the same thing. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that, Debbie. And then when I was reading was anyone else like to share? I don't know how to pronounce the young woman's name down here. Is it Zion? Oh, but she's muted too.
We see that we have that you joined us. And again, I'm like Angela, I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. Would you like to share on our call? We're talking about the John Maxwell book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. Angela is our facilitator today, and we are on chapter 6 talking about connectors connect on common ground. And we are discovering that so many of us on this call today have a lot of common ground. And so I can tie it all together here in a moment. How do you pronounce your name? Is it Zion Zhu? I don't know how to pronounce the X. And again, some folks are listening in. They could be at work because this of the time slot that we're on a Friday morning, and they could be multitasking and just listening in. So we understand that and respect that as well. Angela, back to you. I think we still have Sherry on. I don't know if Sherry is at a place where she can share or not.
Okay. Sherry, are you able to share about anything that your dreams that you may have and desires or an idea that keeps you up at night? No. So
yeah, she had told me earlier that she was in a position where she didn't think she could even tap onto the calls today. So and Linda's putting her contact info in. So thank you for that, Linda. You can, all of you, if you want to put your contact information, you certainly can, so we can connect with each other. And then in the replay, I do list the contact information for everyone, so that you can touch base. And I am going back to that right now, just to be sure, to see, I think several of us already have our contact information there. I've got two computers going, so I'm looking on my second one over on where we keep all the replays.
Okay.
Which is the Kathy Benner International Academy. You can get to that through kathybenner.com. You don't have to remember the link to the academy. You can just go right through kathybenner.com and you can go to the free meetup and you will see all of our replays there. So that if you wanted to listen to earlier conversation, you can do that. Oh, okay. We see now we're getting some comments. Yep. She's at work and she can't fully actively participate.
Yes. Well, thank you.
We both pronounced her name correctly. So Angela, good job. Good job there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. We do have a section in the replay. If you go to kathybenner.com, scroll down to the free Everyone Communicates, View Connect icon and click through there. There is a whole section there under the replays of all of the members who have connected. So anyone that put your information in the chat, I'll include you in that section as well. So, and Sherry said she can't talk today either. So I would like to share, if I might, Angela.
Yes, ma'am.
first of all, Mason, you're productive. You're not busy. And it's something you can change your thinking. You're going to be productive. You're having a very productive day today, not a busy day today. Yep. You have a very productive day today. Because when we say, oh my gosh, I'm so busy, it makes it sound like our day is a little out of control. Mm-hmm. And when we say, oh, I am having a very productive day today, it sounds more like we're in control of our day and we're steering the ship and the ship's not steering us.
The importance of self-talk, which Angela talked about earlier, it's self-talk.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. So you're having a very productive day. Mm-hmm. And Angela, I appreciate you and Sally both sharing that. Not only do you think you have a book, and I know Debbie has a book inside of her, not only do you think you have a book, but you are both interested in doing a podcast. So please connect with me because I can help you, each of you, not only launch your own podcast. Debbie already has a podcast. Debbie is already in the middle of working on her book, and I will be published later this year. I am in a kind of a co-author type publication right now, mm-hmm. where there's going to be several of us. And the gal that is taking, that's kind of spearheading this, she's actually taking applications. So if either of you would like to get published, if there's anybody on this call that would like to get published, connect with me and I can get you the link. And here is the joy. If you think writing a book sounds so overwhelming, this co-author, where there's going to be several authors co-author a book, there's going to be 18 to 20 of us total. And again, she's got, I think, 12 already on board. So there's not that many left, positions left. You only need to write between 3,000 and 3,500 words, which is like a long blog. It's like 12 to 15 pages once she spaces it out correctly, you know, the correct font and all of that. And once you submit that to her, the editing is going to be done. The cover is going to be done. Everything's going to be done for you. And all you have to do is submit your chapter. And because there's going to be 20 of us total when the book finally launches, it's going to immediately hit the bestseller list because there's going to be 20 of us promoting it to all of our audiences and
What's the topic?
The title is going to be Called to Speak, Lead, and Impact. Called to Speak, Lead, and Impact is the title. And they haven't fleshed out this subtitle yet because they're going to get all the SEO words into that subtitle. And she wants to see what everyone's chapter is about. And so as she edits and weaves the common theme throughout all the chapters, they'll then work on fleshing out the actual subtitle with all the SEO. So anyhow, so Sally says, thank you so much, Angela and Kathy. She has to leave, but she'll see us next month. Sally, thank you. We're glad you're here. But anyway, I just want to toss that out about the book. If anybody is interested, because I'm very pragmatic and I see Debbie's got her hand up.
Yes.
No, Kathy, what was the last word in the title of the book?
Impact.
Impact. Okay. Yeah.
Speak, lead, and impact.
I have a question. So all you have to do is submit a chapter?
Yes, where everybody's just writing one chapter. So the book will have like 20 chapters with 20 authors. And they're doing all the editing for us. They're doing all the cover design for us. They're doing everything for us. All we have to do is submit our chapter. But she is taking applications because she wants to make sure that your message fits with the other 12 of us that are already on board. So
and I just contact you to get the application for that.
Contact me and I'll get you in touch with the gal. So I didn't want to take up too much time on the call, but again, I'm very pragmatic. And when I had more than one of you mentioned about a book, I was like, you know what, you can be published this year and it'll have you, it'll have you on the bestseller list. And then you can add that to your website and all of that you're already published. So I wanted to mention to Mason that he's productive, not busy, that there is the opportunity to be published this year without having the overwhelm. We talked about the overwhelm and Linda talked about how to live sanely in an insane world. And I could not figure out how I was going to actually get published. Without all of that overwhelm of writing a book and figuring all that out. And so this was just a godsend for me to get started. And then of course, Sally's conversation and Linda's conversation, you know, about the legacy love and the end of life and Debbie talking on her situation. You can see that message is so important. Mm-hmm. And you can see just in this call, how many of us connected to that message. And I too have been a caregiver for family. We took care of our parents, Mark and I both, and we even had his dad and my mom on the same hospice team at the same time, five doors apart. And we did that for 3 years and we're both still working full time. So I get it. And that message is so important. So I heard on an earlier call today, and then I'm going to hand it back over to Angela, but I heard on a Clubhouse call this morning, that if you don't show up, who misses out? Who in your audience is really going to miss out if you don't show up with your message? So I encourage all of you to show up with your message, because someone out there is going to miss out if you don't show up. So when you wake up in the morning and you're feeling like, oh, maybe today I'm not going to do this, or maybe today I'm going to skip that, or maybe today I'm not going to quite show up filled up. Just ask yourself, who is going to miss out in your world if you don't show up? Because someone is going to miss out. So I'm going to hand it back over to Angie. Angie, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. I would want to thank everyone actually for contributing, and I really appreciate it. And there is so many today. I can like resonate with everyone and about the commonality and things like that. Because I was unexpectedly a caregiver when my mother-in-law died, but I'm gonna save that for call to speak, lead, and impact. So I'm just amazed at how much we have in common. And as a matter of fact, since I've been in Montgomery, Alabama, I've done some touring with the Peace and Justice Museum, and it's about civil rights, and it just goes back to slavery. But even with that, it was amazing how what I got from all that was how much we have in common. And so it was, I didn't even speak about it because it was just so profound. But so now I actually got on today, well, when I was touring, I realized for the first time that we are all the same. And but we just just don't know it because we don't ask questions. And so I hope that you all today will leave with this, that we all have common ground. We all can connect. We just have to ask the question. And I just want to thank you all for taking time to listen to me. And I'm so excited to see you guys next month. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Angela.
Yes, you did a great job facilitating today. I love that. I love that. And Linda, I've got you listed that you'd like to go next time. So thank you for that, Linda.
Thank you.
And is there any last comments before we go? We are at the top of the hour, just a couple of minutes after. And I just want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to share. We've had a couple of folks that were listening in that indicated in the chat that they couldn't really share. But if that, we'll wait just a minute or two if you want to unmic, if you have any last comments. And again, we honor the fact that you're listening in. So thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you coming today and listening in. Again, go to kathybenner.com, scroll down to the Everyone Communicates View Connect icon on my homepage and click through and you'll find all the replays there and you'll find the connections there so that you can make connections with each other. All of that will be listed. Now, anybody that just added their information today for the first time, I've got several calls back to back today, so I may not get this information uploaded quickly because I also have a full house checking in to my bed and breakfast today. So I'm not busy. I'm just productive, Mason.
I'm going to remember that.
Yes, Debbie. Okay, I'm gonna put mine there for everyone. It's just kathybenner.com. There we go. So there's my information. All right, perfect.
Well, remember, you've said this several times, you're busy and productive, and that is all true. But the bigger point I was trying to get across is I had many excuses trying to creep in saying, you don't have time for this. You don't need to do that. I had many of them. And I had to literally, and I'm not even exaggerating this time, focus on, okay, ignore them. How can I make this happen in some way, shape, or form? Mm-hmm. So the real lesson I was trying to get, the real message I was trying to get across was, I'm trying to fight those excuses to not get it done because I'm busy, productive, and say, okay, ignore that excuse and find a way to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So well, that was really what I was trying to communicate. As yes, productive.
I appreciate that. And which goes back to my comment, like, you know, if you don't show up for something that you've decided is good for you, it's good for your family, it's good for your business, it's good for your message, and then you start giving yourself excuses, then who's going to miss out? Somebody out there is going to miss out if you don't show up. So we're going to show up. Okay, what advice would you give to students that really suffer a lot from procrastination? For me, and I don't know if anybody else has any suggestions, but for me, I run by my Google Calendar. And if it's on my calendar, I have a tendency to be a little more diligent on getting it done. If I put it on my calendar, if it's just something running around in my head, I have a tendency to think, oh, well, I've got time. I can do that tomorrow. So this is me without a brain. And this is me with a brain. So there's my calendar for today. And so that's
join the club.
So that's my suggestion is I simply put it on the calendar. And I'm a big fan. You know, I put my task list. Everything's in one place because I'm running three companies from my cell phone. Yep, that's amazing. I'm running three companies from my cell phone. And so I put it all, you know, I've got different calendars with different colors, but then I can overlap all of my Google calendars all in one place. And that way I never miss, you know, I never miss a coaching call or a meetup or whatever because I have them all on my calendar.
I'm going to add also, on the procrastination, it's the tough and ugly things we don't want to do. Mm-hmm. We try and put those off as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter whether you're a student or anything else. As much as it stinks, and and it does, whatever the task is you don't want to do, you got to try to attack that first little bit by little bit by little bit, because it won't go away. And I fully relate to you. You know, so procrastination, there's something you don't want to do. That's the thing you got to work on, even if it's a little bit, to get it done, because that's the thing that's really trying to stop you, whatever that is for you.
Mason, funny you should say that. I have a quote, and I've got a cork board here right in front of my work computer. And I have a quote that says, the magic is in the work you're avoiding.
I like Mark Twain where it says, eat the frog. Because he says, if you eat a frog, I was paraphrasing, if you eat a frog in the morning, nothing else could, that's the worst that could happen for your entire day. So eat the frog. The idea being, whatever it is you're trying not to do, whatever you don't want to do, eat the frog, get it done early.
Right.
Your day gets better.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
A little more colorful.
Yes, I agree.
Could you repeat that? Oh, I'm sorry, I apologize. Could you repeat that? The magic is in the work you're doing?
No, the magic is in the work you're avoiding.
Oh.
Yeah, the magic is in the work you're avoiding.
Marcus Aurelius, the obstacle is the way.
Mm-hmm. So eat the frog.
Yes. Marcus Aurelius, a Stoic philosopher, ancient, last of one of the decent Roman emperors. The obstacle is the way. Mark Twain, eat the frog. It's all the same thing. We all have those procrastination issues. I don't care how good you think you are. There's something. Even if you're really, really up here, among your peers, there's something you're procrastinating on. It may look different. Yeah, we all suffer from that. So you're definitely not alone on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you for commenting. Yes. Thank you for that. Any last comments before we go? All right. I think we're good. Thank you so much for joining us today. Put it on your calendar. We are here every month. Angela is going to be facilitating a couple of more sessions with us, and then it will be Linda's turn to facilitate. And so we are here the fourth Friday of every month at 10 a.m. So mark your calendar. And if you have made a note of the Zoom code, it's the same code. I don't change the code. So it's the same Zoom code every month. If you want to just put that on your calendar as well. Then you don't have to click through and find it. So Debbie's got her on an index card. I love it. I love it. And mine too. I have a little plastic cover on my desk. So there's all my Zoom codes of all my meetups.
Wow. Yeah.
And I just put them right there under my desk, under my glass top. And so anytime I need to tap in, I've got it right there at my fingertips. So anyway, so thank you everyone. And we will see you next time. Thank you, Angela. You did a great job.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Angela.
Bye everyone.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Thanks again.